Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Steve Rivera, and welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 AM KVOI. I think we have Bruce Pascoe on the line. Bruce, are you there?
Yeah, I am, Steve.
How are you, Bruce? Welcome back from Alabama.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, good to be here.
I'm sure you miss me on the road these days when there's really nothing to really talk about or write about.
Yeah, well, you know, it's actually right. I mean, it's actually three pretty good trips in a row. I couldn't complain as far as, like, not a lot of craziness going on and kind of fun places to visit. I'd never been to Tuscaloosa, so that was kind of different. And, you know, yeah, decent weather everywhere. And you can't complain. And like you said, I think years ago, going to Maui, you don't always get to go to the beach. But this time I did. They played late, and there was nothing crazy going on off the court, so that was nice.
Right. Even if there were stuff going off the court, would you have access to it?
Well, no, but I mean, you can do things like, you know, I mean, last year when the ESPN report came down, we were in Eugene, and I spent the evening in the Hilton just kind of staking them out and seeing what they did and if I could catch Sean Miller, and he went out a different way where I was standing, and so I didn't, but at least I was able to sort of describe the whole scene and, you know, what they were going through, because that was a really surreal moment. That was, I think, Friday night before the Oregon game when Miller ended up sitting out that game, as it turned out.
Right, right.
So you're right, access was, yeah, you never know. Access otherwise is limited. You just have to, sometimes in public places you can be there and they can't tell you not to be, but that's about it.
Right, but they knew you were there, so they went the other way.
Right.
Right,
exactly.
Right. A lot of fun. I don't miss those days. I was telling the listeners here that for about 10, 12 years, you and I were competitors. You were at the Star, me at the Citizen, but we traveled to the same spots and obviously the same games, sometimes on the same flight. So those were the good old days to me.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was. I mean, I miss you not being on the road, because a lot of times I'm by myself and you know, there's always people to meet with wherever I go, and it's fun that way. But just being able to hang out and talk about the way things are going, kind of talk shop or whatever. I mean, it was weird because we were competitors, but you're also kind of friends too. I mean, and I think that's the way it was then. And you know, it's so different now. You know, I'm lucky that I can still travel with the team, but you know, it's competing instead of against one paper. It's a bunch of different entities and things and that, this and that, and sources here, sources there, and then it's just a wild deal nowadays.
Right. You've been in the business probably 31 years, 32 years, at least professionally. How has the life changed for you in terms of covering a team? Better, worse?
Oh, well, worse, for sure. It's just a matter of how, I would say. I think probably the worst thing is the access, but that's you know, I think you saw that, you know, even
at the tail end
develop at the tail end of the Citizen years, where everybody was sort of moving to that model where it's just like a coach at a podium and two players at the podium, and they pick the players that sit there. And before the games, after the games, you know, it's rare. And every now and then I get one from U of A if I put in a request, and then it can work out where I'll get a one-on-one. But it's rare when you can actually just sit down with somebody and have a conversation, which tends to lead to better stuff, and frankly, I think it makes, you know, it usually helps their side of it too, because they let their personalities out a little more that way, and so you don't get to see that. That's probably been the most frustrating thing. In fact, I feel like the last 8-10 years, I mean, literally the best access and the best stories consequently I get are during the postseason when the locker rooms are open, and then when I'm dealing with recruiting, you know, at the McDonald's game or going to those tournaments in Vegas in July, you could just go up and talk to a guy, right? The game ends, they walk off the court, the coach says like two sentences to him, and you go talk to him. I mean, you know, you can't beat that. And it just doesn't happen that way in college. And I feel like it's become a little harder to tell stories and to get teams true, you know, true personality and identity across. You see them in the games, but a lot of times you don't always know what's going on with
sure.
them. And, you know,
sure.
I think that's hard for everybody.
Especially when you and I were together and we competed, we didn't know I didn't know what you were doing. You didn't know what I was doing. So you had to worry about what I was up to, and I had to worry what was you up to, and the stories that I had and you had. It was kind of fun, but, you know, stressful.
Yeah. No, yeah. I mean, the old days, yeah, it was like picking up the paper. Like you had to pick up the paper and you're kind of holding your breath saying, well, hope you didn't have that or whatever, you know, and, yeah, stuff like that. And then it became checking the websites, and now it's, you know, scanning Twitter, message boards, you know, all sure. kinds of different websites. And there's, you know, little stuff that comes out. Somebody on campus saw somebody walking in a boot across campus and they posted it. And then you got to check out, is that guy already just doing it for precautionary reasons or did he break his ankle? I mean, you know, just so much. It's like somebody told me a couple years ago, it was like, you know, it was like a Cold War when it was like you and me competing. And then, but today it's more like, you know, ISIS or Al-Qaeda or something where you've got little bombs going off all over the place and you just sort of have to monitor them and try and ferret out. And it's tough too, because, you know, in our business, we really emphasize getting things right. We don't use a lot of sources. We don't rush to get things first if we're not
sure about
positively, positively sure. And that's not always the case. And so it's frustrating sometimes to have, you know, to not have to know something and people else are talking about it, but you can't write it because you don't have a source. And, you know, probably the biggest example of that is the whole Alonzo Trier PED thing where, you know, pretty much everybody knew what was going on and he was just sitting there. U of A wasn't saying anything. And, you know, and we just had a bunch of off the record people, NBA scouts telling me what was going on, but we couldn't print it.
Sure.
So, you know, you have to be really careful. And as a good result, we're not wrong when we do it, but it is frustrating to see other people handling it, and you know, and can be a little more aggressive than we can, and that's also something that's really changed, I think, over the years too.
Yeah, no question. I don't miss that time. You know, I'm in it a little now, as you know, but which comes to the question: is it you go into the business hoping that it's fun, you enjoy it? It's probably something you've always wanted to do. I know that's what I wanted to do all my life. Is it as fun as it used to be?
Well, you know, I suppose it's probably maybe a little less, because again, I mean, a big part of it, and I think you agree, there's a big part of it is you want to get to know people and turn that around and be able to convey that to your readers. Okay, this guy is like this guy is like that, you know, and create that kind of bond with your readers, and maybe they bond with the team as a result, which, like I said, can be good for everybody if that happens. And so there's a little less of that, so you feel a little more removed. And again, I'm not personally bothered by the fact that they want to remove me or whatever, but by doing that, by extension, you're kind of keeping the fans a little bit further away, and so that's frustrating. And you know, and I think, yeah, probably over the years, you know, you get a little worn down by not so much off the court stuff. There's always going to be off the court stuff going, but I think just the sometimes situations where it's just so frustrating to be able to handle it as a news writer, you know, the not only the Trier thing but the Elliott Pitts thing the year before, but what was going on with that. He was just sitting out and everybody knew, but he wasn't charged by police, so we weren't writing anything about it until he got investigated by the school and that came out. And that was just you know, months and months of frustration there dealing with that.
Sure. Maybe last question before we go to break, but do you feel, and I know my answer to this, so that's why I asked the question, do you feel that because you don't get close to these guys, and I'm not saying this exclusive to you, but maybe on the football side too, Michael Levs and some of the things that we have to write, that we don't get close to the players, so that attendance is faltering because of it, that they don't know who they're cheering for?
Yeah, well, that's my argument. I think there's a little bit to that. I mean, it's hard to say. There are certainly ways when athletes can directly connect with fans through Instagram and Twitter and all that, and I think that does help create some bonding there without us, and that's fine. But I think it could help, and yeah, I would think it would. I was a little puzzled, like a lot of people were, when you know, the coaching changed in football and there wasn't going to be a lot of access in the spring. And I'm thinking, well, there's certainly something to be said for being a new staff and wanting to, you know,
hunker down,
guys under clothes, hunker down. Exactly. But you're also trying to get people fired up. And if you don't have a lot of people talking about you, it's a little hard to see that happening. So, I think in the long run, big picture, long run, it can help, especially when things are not going well, because then the fans are invested. They feel like they know the teams, and it's like, okay. But if you maybe don't have that connection as a fan, you're going to go if they're winning. But if they're not winning, you're like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
And I think it does maybe hurt them. And this year we're seeing that.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Maybe a little bit. It's hard to say. You can never really say for sure what's going on. But I know in basketball, you know, they're announcing 13,000, 13,500, whatever. But there's generally 2,000 to 3,000 empty seats every game.
No question.
And that's just happening. And that's possibly because of expectations are lower, possibly because people don't know the team, or possibly because people are, you know, whatever. You know, certainly there's been off the court things with the investigation still kind of going on, and you know, maybe there's some people about that, and then there's certainly some people the other way.
Yeah, and the schedule. I think the schedule has something to do with it as well.
And the schedule too. And that's, you know, and that's not all Arizona's fault. They're, you know, it's really hard, as you know. It's not like you can get Duke or Kansas to come to your home court anymore. Those kind of games just don't happen. And the fact they got Baylor coming up this weekend, and you know they had a couple true road games. That's about as good as you can schedule these days. I think that the fault is that some of the bye games they scheduled turned out to be really, really weak opponents, especially early this year. And even UC Davis, I mean, they were supposed to be pretty good, and they're really struggling. And so there's just that's going to drag them down. You know, it's not been a real attractive schedule. Yeah.
Right. Well, let's go to break, Bruce, and then we'll come back. I want to talk to you real quick about our history, but maybe some of the bigger stories and more enjoyable stories that you've had since you've been here, maybe in your career. Let's go to break, Bob, and come back. Thanks.
Next year's fondest memories begin with this year's Lexus December to Remember sales event. Right now, get Lexus cash and dealer discounts on all models with up to $11,000 off the new 2018 LS500. Get incredibly low interest rate financing and exceptional lease offers on your favorite models. Hurry in. All offers on approved credit and expire 1/2/19. See dealer for details at Lexus of Tucson on Speedway at Columbus, at the Auto Mall, or LexusofTucson.com.
My drains were clogged. I was really in despair.
Got plumbing problems? Call Picture Rocks Cooling, Heating, and Plumbing. Whether you have a leaky faucet, need a new water heater, or new plumbing construction, our qualified professional technicians can help you with your plumbing issues. Picture Rocks is family-owned and operated, and all our work is guaranteed. Call Picture Rocks Cooling, Heating, and Plumbing today at 440-4069 or picturerockscooling.com.
Picture Rocks Cooling.
Hey, Julie, thanks for coming over.
Aw, thanks for inviting me. It's so great to see you.
You too.
I love what you've done with the place. Where did you get these shades? They're amazing.
Aren't they fabulous? We got them from Budget Blinds. And the best part, ta-da!
Oh my gosh, they're motorized. How convenient.
Yep, and I can adjust them all with a touch of a button. I made my husband's day.
You made mine, too. Can I have Budget Blinds' number?
Call locally owned Budget Blinds in Tucson at 790-6180.
Budget Blinds.
I am homeless in Tucson, and I want to finish high school. Youth on Their Own in Tucson helps homeless kids like me. We are not troublemakers, just victims. Please direct your Arizona charitable tax credit to me at yodo.org. Help me and other homeless Tucson teens get our education and make Tucson a better place to live for all of us.
Lower your tax bill by donating to yoto.org. Take advantage of the 2018 tax credit. That's yoto.org.
My name is Bobby. I'm a veteran and lost my leg to a roadside bomb. My victory was going from a wheelchair to becoming a weightlifting champion.
I'm Sam. I'm a veteran. My victory was finding a career I can be proud of and supporting my family.
America's veterans are on their most important tour, the tour of their lives.
I'm a veteran. My victory was going from homeless to home.
At DAV, we're on a mission to help veterans get the benefits they've earned.
I'm a veteran, and my victory was finishing my education.
DAV offers veterans of all generations a lifetime of support for victories great and small.
My victory was proving that disability is not a limitation.
My victory was getting my service dog and new best friend.
We help more than a million veterans every year as they face and conquer their challenges.
My victory is being able to be there for my family.
When America's veterans win, we all win. Help us support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
Trusted local news and talk. AM 1030 KVOI. We have our eye on politics.
And hey, welcome back, everybody, to Eye on the Ball here on KVOI 1030 AM. I'm on the phone with the Arizona Daily Star's Bruce Pascoe, a good friend of mine who I've competed against for a number of years, and now not so much, although we still compete a little. Bruce, you've been here about 25 years, 22 years in Tucson?
23
years. In your time, you and I covered...
no, 22. Sorry.
22. So I see I know better than you. I was on the beat about 8 years before you showed up.
And then the first couple of years I was here, I was doing AAA baseball, Toros, and then when they became the Sidewinders and spring training, that was a lot of fun, actually.
Yeah, less craziness. Hey, so we competed against each other with loot and stuff. I want to hear some of your better stories. What were your couple of stories that you're most proud of, and maybe interesting stories?
That's a good question. I mean, there's just been so many of them, and I think, you know, I'd like to think, I take a lot of pride in just doing the best I can on a day-to-day basis, and I feel like year-round, you know, I feel like, covering this team as well as I can possibly cover them. I mean, it's pretty amazing that I'm even allowed to do what I do, where I'm covering the college basketball literally 12 months a year. I mean, there's very few people in the country who do that, and nobody really in the Pac-12 even. I think, you know, Percy Allen up in Seattle does mostly UW hoops, but he also does a few other things. And I mean, this is it. So I have the latitude to do that. So I just feel like, you know, that's the main thing. But I mean, it's for, you know, that day-to-day in-depth coverage, or blanket coverage, whatever you want to call it. But, you know, certainly there's big stories been over the years, and they're not so much to me about, I don't know about you, but not so much about like a certain Final Four run or whatever. It just is as much as the individuals, you know, like, I think there was when Olsen got in the Hall of Fame in, I think it was 2002, they allowed me to go to, I pitched them to go to his hometown in North Dakota and Minnesota for a week in August. And I flew to Minnesota and rented a car for a week and drove around all the places, retraced all the steps, talked to a bunch of people. And amazingly, they're all still there. And they all still remember everything like it was yesterday. At least they did as of 2002. Mm-hmm. In fact, a couple of his friends, they invited me to their lake house in Minnesota, and they were teachers, and the second night that I walked in and said hello, they said, "Well, you'll be staying over there. This is our guest house, and you'll be there." And I was like, "Wait a minute, really? I had a hotel booked. I had, you know, I mean, just and I just couldn't do it. It was just, you know, I mean, it was really nice of them, but." In fact, it was actually kind of a struggle to say, look, I got to go to this hotel. I'm sorry. You know, I mean, it's that kind of hospitality, just the way the people are. So that was really fun connecting with people. And then all the way across, he had stopped, all the way across Minnesota over in a place called Two Harbors and all this. So that was a lot of fun. And, and certainly as far as like, you know, there's been some really interesting individuals like Gene Eggerson and Mohammed Tangara that, you know, I did, you know, and then you two did, you know, a bunch of interesting stories about their backgrounds and Eggerson's teaching career. I sat in on one of his student teaching classes at a elementary school here one time and interviewed a couple of the kids talking about him, and they thought he was really good because he was tall and funny. They had no idea, you know, what he could do as a basketball player. So that was fun. And under Sean Miller, well, actually before Sean Miller, just, you know, and you were there.
Sure.
I mean, those couple of years were just unbelievable with that transition, especially the year when Kevin O'Neill was coaching, mm-hmm. because he was so transparent. Everything was open. He was, he could be very negative and
very honest,
hard to deal with sometimes,
yep.
but he was very honest, very blunt, and he'd let you in. And, it was just chaotic. I mean, I remember volunteering in my kids' kindergarten class one day, and I got a call from a cell phone. He's like, "Bruce, you got to see this. This is crazy over here." Your stress level goes through the roof. There was so much conflict going on that year. It was unbelievable. Then the next year, of course, as you know, with Russ Pennell and Mike Dunlap, it was calmer, but mostly because they kind of cut us out of everything as much as they could anyway. And they were, and I think especially Russ was a pretty easygoing guy. So that was a little bit different. And to see the way that team actually ended up bonding pretty well. If you remember, we were both there in Georgia, and they didn't play particularly well in the whole
NIT. NIT.
Yeah, NIT when, Jamel Horn had that foul or whatever, and they, instead of going to New York, they went to Athens, Georgia, and played in front of, 150 people or whatever.
Reggie Geary and I were talking about that this weekend.
Yeah.
There was nobody at the game. Nobody at the game.
Nobody at the game, who in Athens, Georgia wants to see Arizona play somebody that's not Georgia? I mean, that and especially in a consolation bracket near, I think it was it over Thanksgiving week or something?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was just no reason to be there as a fan unless you were just like a total diehard. And that was a year when Arizona didn't have a lot of reputation at the time either. So, yeah, nobody was there. But it ended up being the secret story of that season. That team wound, as you know, went to the
Sweet 16
and large part because they hung around in Georgia, and I think that was kind of a turning point where they bonded a little bit on that trip and played better. And I think they had the attitude like, this is screwed up, but we're going to make the deal of it, make the best deal of it we can, and do us against the world or whatever. And that's kind of what they did. And they really maxed out. I mean, they kind of got a break in the tournament there a little bit, but with the Cleveland State or something, I think they got to play in the second round. But I mean, heck, they made it to the Sweet 16. Nobody would have expected that from that team.
No, and then they got clobbered against Louisville. But
right, and that was something else too. And those 2 years, and then with Miller, just been the drama of and watching the ascendance of his recruiting and how terrific that's been, and then those Elite Eight games and the two Wisconsin games. I mean, that is really, when you think about games, those are like, wow, there's something else. But there was those games, and then there's been individual moments, and I know you have a ton of them too. But going to Gonzaga, I remember going to Kansas. I mean, I remember walking in the building in Kansas, and you talk about, how do you feel about the job? I mean, going to some of those places, where those are days when you're like, damn,
wow,
I'm lucky to be doing this.
Right. Well, Kansas was the Candy Gate weekend.
Yeah. And it was crazy. Yeah. I mean, that kind of put a damper on it as far as our enjoyment of it.
But
just the atmosphere in there was something else. I mean, you just.
Yeah. And then they come around and win that game with Saleem.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. And I think, and then what? I think, well, there was that game, and then I think Kevin O'Neill took that team back.
Yeah,
there
and won
well,
that
so.
Game, and then won that game.
Yeah. And so just amazing experiences to cover. And then, then there's, Elite Eight, Final Fours, and then there's been some first-round losses that have been,
well, I think the biggest,
frankly, very memorable.
I think, I don't know, can you stick around for another segment? I don't mind talking to you for an hour if you want.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody wants to.
No, they do. They just want to know who I'm talking to. And that's Bruce Pascoe, the Daily Star. So we're just kind of, talking about basketball. Let's go to break, and I want to talk to you maybe a little bit more about that, but maybe your thoughts on this year's team. Because in my mind, and I've already said it, it's obviously not as good as teams that we've covered in the past. But, sometimes that happens.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're doing a little bit better than could reasonably be expected. Maybe among some fans they're disappointing a little bit because of where they've been in the last few years, but they're in pretty good shape for considering.
Well, let's talk about that on the other side, Bruce, and we'll come back to you. We'll take a break here on KBOI 10:30 a.m.
This Christmas season, get in the holiday spirit with Messiah. Handel's pulse-pounding, earth-shaking proclamation of the birth of Jesus, performed by the Tucson Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Bruce Chamberlain, and featuring the full TSO chorus. One of the great choral masterpieces of all time, Handel's Messiah will be performed live in the intimate and acoustically designed concert hall at Catalina Foothills High School. Performances are Saturday, December 15th at 4 p.m. with a matinee Sunday, December 16th at 2. Handel's Messiah is extremely popular and last year's performances sold out. Tickets are now available at 882-8585 or TucsonSymphony.org with a 50% discount available for children under 18. Handel's Messiah, Saturday and Sunday, December 15th and 16th at Catalina Foothills High School. Tickets at 882-8585 or TucsonSymphony.org.
Hi folks, this is Mario, Dr. Bedoya's son of Dedicated Dental. Quick question for you. At what age should a person stop caring for their teeth? Let me tell you about a gentleman that came in to see Dr. Bedoya. He was interested in implants at the age of 98. That's right, he wanted implants for his 99th birthday as a gift to himself. Dr. Bedoya was intrigued by this man's wish to have implants at nearly 100 years old and asked why he wanted to do this at this point in his life. The man said, "Doc, I don't know how much time I have left, but however much or little it is, I want to enjoy the rest of my life and eat whatever I want to eat." What a great answer, and what a way to live. Dr. Bedoya and his staff at Dedicated Dental came through for him, and the man had his implants for his 99th birthday. We should all learn from this man's outlook on life and seek to live a happy and enjoyable life. At Dedicated Dental, it's not just about teeth. We are here to help you live better. Call today for your free consultation, 573-1900. That's 573-1900.
Where you bank really does matter. Hughes Federal Credit Union is proud to be recognized as the number one credit union across all of Arizona by Forbes. This national recognition highlights our commitment to high-quality products and services, our customer service, digital services, and financial advice. At Hughes Federal Credit Union, we offer higher savings rates, lower fees, and many free services. Make the switch. Join Hughes today. Visit HughesFCU.org/bestcreditunion. Certain restrictions apply, insured by NCUA.
Driving means
freedom,
exploration,
fun,
pride,
flexibility,
travel, protection,
ability,
friendship,
escape,
control. Independence.
Distracted driving means
danger,
recklessness,
irresponsible,
chaos,
police,
devastation,
injury,
tears, death.
Safe driving means staying alert and staying alive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
John C. Scott is hosting one of the longest-running political talk shows in Arizona. John C. Scott features interviews with elected officials, candidates, reporters, consultants, and voters in what shapes up to be one of the most critical election years in our history.
The John C. Scott Show, weekday afternoons 3 to 5 on AM 1030 KBOI. Trusted local news and talk.
Trusted local news and talk. AM 1030 KBOI. We have our eye on sports.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on KBOI 1030 AM. I'm on the phone with the Arizona Daily Star's Bruce Pasco, who's covered the team probably almost 20 years, probably. Almost.
Yeah. Exactly.
A lot of fun, I'm sure. Hey, this team to me obviously isn't as talented as the last few years, but it does remind me of a couple of the one that where Gabe York was a senior. I think Anderson was part of that team, and you know they had a few seniors, a couple.
Yeah, 15, 16. Yeah,
and it was kind of okay. You know, they lost in the first round to Wichita State, but maybe about like that. You agree?
Yeah. I think they're somewhere between that and that 11-12 team. You know. We'll see. I think maybe that, I think that team in 16 probably had a little more, depth and leadership, if I remember, you know, but they could get there. It's going to be interesting though, cause they, but the Pac-12 is going to be down like it was in 11-12, it looks like. So they're going to have to, you're going to have to either win it or they're going to have to win, you know, probably 12 games in this thing to get in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah. I think the 12 wins, and I spoke about this yesterday with Anthony, I think that if they go 12-6, which is possible, very possible because the league is so bad, that they could finish in the top three and go 12-6, and then who knows, because the strength of schedule is going to be the question.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, if they win these three at home, coming up, and they're two of them, the three are not guaranteed. I mean, they're, but assuming they get those, and you figure, right, they got 10 going into Pac-12s, go 12-6, maybe pick up another game in the tournament.
Yeah.
And then they got 23 wins, and a decent strength of schedule. They probably would be okay at that point, but I think it's going to be hard. I'm actually kind of looking at this today as far as if you organize by like net ratings and get these quadrant ones, there's not going to be a whole lot of quadrant run opportunities in the Pac-12 this year because everybody's been rated so low. It's going to be pretty much only road games against the top five or six teams. And maybe ASU, maybe UCLA at home for Arizona, that might be quadrant one, but there's not going to be a lot of opportunity there. So they need to make sure, they win. Yeah. Like I said, probably 12 or maybe even 13.
Yeah. What, if you were to say, what does this team absolutely need? Maybe that they don't have now, but what do they need?
That's the
$64,000 question
because they've got a lot of, this team's got obviously a lot more firepower in the backcourt. I'd probably say, like a 6'9", 240 body who can rebound and defend a lot better. And I think Ira Lee is some of that, but maybe they need a little more depth and strength there to and a little more backup help because I'm actually surprised that, that was the thing that struck me going in was that the front court is very thin and, all those guys have injury history and I wasn't sure how they were going to do. And they've been pretty good considering that, although Ryan Luther struggled with his finger and his confidence a little bit. So, a little bit of something there up front, I think maybe is lacking.
I thought I agree with you. Obviously, I think Ira Lee needs to step up a little bit more. And be more consistent. You're right with Ryan Luther. He needs to be the guy that they thought he would be. A guy who can shoot it from the perimeter, help on the rebounds. Those two things. And then the depth is absolutely miserable.
Yeah. And that's, we've seen this a few times with this team under Sean Miller. And I think, it may be that maybe these guys aren't as good as we think, or it may be that, they're not getting a lot of opportunity. And when they're getting it, they're just not producing, or they're getting beat on a defensive something or other. And boom, they're on the bench and that's not helping their confidence. And it's not helping this team. And that's probably a bigger picture thing as far as one person. I thought that's what you were asking as far as like what they lack, but certainly more help from the bench in general would be good because you saw against Alabama, they come all the way back from 19 and then they can't keep it up. And some of that's just human nature. You can't really keep accelerating when, you got to take a breather there, but they also had nobody to come in and help sustain it. So it was just the starters and that's big for them. They got 6 points off the bench in that game, which is not helpful, especially when one of them is Ryan Luther. Part of the reason I think they moved to the bench was to get a scorer in reserve. So, when Sean Miller starts making those switches after 4 minutes, then they've got a guy they can turn to for some scoring. And whereas, Acott's done a lot of things, but he's not been a scorer primarily like as much as Luther has. That's a concern.
Yeah, and you can't really interchange them because they're kind of the same player in terms of offense. They're not going to give you much.
Yeah, well, I think I think Luther has a little more upside in that he can, he's a pretty good shooter actually when he gets going, and he can create a little bit around the basket and get second shots and stuff like that. He just seems to lack the aggressiveness in some cases. When he's got it going, he can be pretty good, I think. Whereas Acott can be good in a lot of other ways, and defensively and rebounding and screening or whatever. He seems to be good in all those things. He's ranging, athletic, and there's a lot of things I like about him. But maybe more upside down the road, but at least right now I think Luther's a better scoring threat for them.
The guy that's been kind of the enigma in the whole thing has been Dylan Smith. You hope that they'd hope that he would have been a better offensive player, and he hasn't been that guy.
No, but typical of Sean Miller, I think they are overall pretty happy with him because he has been a pretty good defensive player, but his shot's been lacking most of the year, and that's kind of the opposite of what I would have expected. I mean, when he came in, I thought he was a really good shooter that could really count on, and defensively I wasn't sure, but it's sort of been the other way around the way it's turned out for him. But he's going to play a lot, and he's going to get his opportunities, and he had a couple of looks there in Alabama where they didn't go down, but he I thought a lot of cases he's pretty good when he's got a decent look at it, and it's been a little bit odd for him, especially away from McHale. He's been okay at McHale, but he really struggled in Maui, and hasn't done well in the road games.
Yeah, you follow Sean more than anybody because you are on the road a lot. You see him at games and things like that more so than we do. You know, back in the day.
Well, when I can.
When you can, okay. But you're there. But you're there. I mean, when you and I were there, we were always there. We're at McHale 24/7. We were physically there, and now we're on the road. Now you are the guy because you travel with the team. Have you noticed? And maybe I'm wrong. Correct me if I'm wrong. That he was. Mellow is not the right word. More reserved this year going into the year and throughout the most of the first month or so because he knew what he had and maybe more of a teaching moment and less yelling or screaming, if that's the right phrase.
Well, he was definitely mellower, and I think that last year too, his press conferences seemed to be shorter. His answers were shorter a lot of times. I mean, there was one game in Oregon State before he was suspended where he literally gave us like one word answers.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
It was like, what is going on? He was mad about something that, I think this year, I think it was a question of he wasn't sure what he had. The expectations were low, and it's possible. I don't know. I'm just guessing. It's possible that maybe because of what was going on in New York with the trial that he was just kind of laying low in general. I mean, and then, but certainly, from Maui until now, things have been better. I think he's realized that, and he's made a couple of references to this is a really fun group of guys, and maybe that's rubbed off on him a little bit. Maybe he's having a little bit of fun. I mean, I think as good as last year's team was, it certainly didn't seem like he was having a lot of fun. And I don't think some of the players, judging by the way the players reacted after they lost to Buffalo, some of them didn't even seem to really mind, and that's a million words to me
right.
anyway about that they were, it just wasn't a great experience. I don't think off the court, at least for them. So, but this year, different deal. Yeah. I mean, they're interesting. They seem to be a good group of guys that maybe that Justin Coleman, it appears to me that and between him and Jeter, I think making them co-captains, which is something Miller's never done before, I think mm-hmm. that was actually a really smart move. And both of those guys have the maturity. They're setting that tone and that among that locker room. I think that, it's a pretty upbeat, thing where they're supporting each other. And that's something you don't always get, even on teams where you might expect it. Sometimes the chemistry goes awry, but it seems like so far they're pretty good. And, like that. And Coleman kind of set the tone, and you've seen him in press conferences. He comes out, the first thing he does is praise the Lord. And, mm-hmm. and I think he even said one time, he said, I'm thankful just to be here for the opportunity to talk to you guys and for this opportunity to play. I mean, and I'm thinking most players don't want to talk to us. They got other things to do. So, just the fact that he would even think to say those kinds of things, an interesting, perspective. And you just don't see that from a lot of guys. So I think that probably helps. I mean, their chemistry seems to be fun, and maybe that has rubbed off on Sean Miller as well.
Sure. No, I agree with you with the captains because they're two thoughtful guys, forward-thinking guys, smart guys. Jeter speaks well, and you could tell he's that guy off the court too.
Yeah, I mean he's graduating if he wants. I mean he's got through Duke, got good grades. He was a good student in high school. He's it just seems, and he's mature. I think the Duke experience kind of matured him too, as far as,
did you know,
he's even admitted that he was probably too full of himself as a five-star recruit. You fall into that, and you're going to go to Duke, and everything's going to be great. You're going to be there for a year, and then you're going to go in the lottery, and, you know, and it didn't work out for him. And instead of, you know, withdrawing, I think he kind of turned that into a positive. I mean, he's really been impressive that way this year.
Were you the beat writer in Vegas when his dad was playing up there?
Towards the end, I did deal with his dad a couple of times, which is really odd.
I've
been around that long, but yeah, no, he was like, the interesting thing about that is like, they made a lot about how Jeter is leading the team in charges and how unusual it is for a big guy to take charges. His dad was exactly like that. And he wasn't as talented as Chase as far as like, some of the gifts he has. He was just a grinder dude. He was, tough. And, he was also pretty well-spoken as well. But, he definitely had that kind of dog yard mentality, whatever you want to call it.
Where I wanted to go with this, you are old and so am I.
But I try and, you know, the good thing is that there's always new things going on. So you feel like, even though I've been doing this for a while, I feel like, there's always something new about it, whether it's, you know, Alonzo Trier and the PED thing or recruiting coming in you're talking to or a decade ago, all the coaching changes. It's never the same. So even though you're doing the same thing, there's always differences, which really keeps you going, I think.
Right. No. Bruce, thanks a bunch. We'll probably talk to you again at the new year when the Pac-12 starts, and we'll see how good these guys really are.
Yeah, sounds good. I'm glad you got this going, Steve.
Thank you, Bruce. Hey, let's take a break right now and come back for our final segment at the end of the hour.
Hey there, sports fans. Everyone knows that pizza is a game day tradition, and Tino's Pizza has been feeding fans across town for 34 years. Family owned and operated, Tino's has your game day covered, from scratch made pizzas to wings. You can dine in or swing by for pickup, and delivery is available too. For game day and every day in between, Tino's Pizza is ready to serve at 6610 East Tancredi Road. Call them at 296-9656 or check out their menu today at tinospizza.com.
So what do you want for Christmas, Ralphie, my boy?
I thought it over, and Mom's right. I might shoot my eye out. So I really want a new bike from Aho Bikes. They have the BMX that I've had my eye on, a mountain bike for Mom, a recumbent three-wheeler for Grandpa, and an electric bike so Grandma can keep up with him.
Tubes, tires, parts, and service for recumbent and tandem, road, mountain, and electric bikes. Aho Bikes, 1301 East Aho, 294-1434.
Next year's fondest memories begin with this year's Lexus December to Remember sales event. Right now, get Lexus cash and dealer discounts on all models with up to $11,000 off the new 2018 LS500. Get incredibly low interest rate financing and exceptional lease offers on your favorite models. Hurry in. All offers on approved credit and expire 1/2/19. See dealer for details at Lexus of Tucson on Speedway at Columbus, at the Auto Mall, or lexusoftucson.com.
Being there matters, and your United States Navy protects and defends America on the world's oceans. Around the globe, around the clock, Navy ships, submarines, aircraft, and most importantly, tens of thousands of America's finest young men and women are ready to defend America when piracy threatens global commerce, when disaster strikes, or when called upon by the Commander-in-Chief. Your Navy is there. When it comes to protecting and defending America, being there matters, and America's Navy is already there.
Today, nearly half our nation's fighting forces are members of the Guard and Reserve. When they are called to active duty, they leave behind a family, a community, and a job. Employer support of the Guard and Reserve, a Department of Defense agency, honors and protects the bond between service members and their civilian employers. Whether serving our country or supporting those who do, we all serve. To learn more about ESGR, call 1-800-336-4590 or visit esgr.mil.
Wake Up Tucson with Christy Simone.
Hey, it's Chris from Wake Up Tucson. Join us for a very busy Wednesday. Amber Smith from the Tucson Chamber, a reporter from the Washington Post, Bob Fineman with a Mexico report, Dan Shearer, Green Valley News, and Hall of Fame sports writer Corky Simpson. Wake Up Tucson, 1030 KVOI, trusted local news and talk.
Wake Up Tucson, mornings from 6 to 10 on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Trusted local news and talk. AM 1030 KVOI. We have our eye on Tucson.
Hey, welcome back to everybody. Welcome back, everybody, to Eye on the Ball here on KVOI 1030 AM. It's funny because we get caught up in what we're doing here. And now I'm in a hurry mode, kind of. Forgot to give away the Tino's Pizza 12-inch pizza for today. Mm-hmm. You ate there yesterday, didn't you?
It was fabulous. I got the, basil and garlic, and we added meatballs. It was terrific.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah. Did you do the sports writer deal where you had to take it home and you had to have cold pizza the next day?
It is there waiting for me.
Oh, I'll be right there. I'll be right there. So anybody, the first caller to call in here, 790-2040, will get a 12-inch pizza from Tino's. You just need to pick up the little certificate that we'll give you. And we've given away a couple, two, three already. And people are readers, or not readers, I'm still in the newspaper phase of my life on the radio. The listeners are loving it. This is a great place to have pizza. You saw that yesterday.
Yeah, I know, it really was. It was. He said, "You ever been here before?" And I said, "No, I haven't." He goes, "Well, we've only been here 34 years. I can understand that." I was like, "Duh." But yeah. My wife said, "No, we were there, but it was a while back when they were. I forgot where else.
Probably somewhere else. Were they somewhere else? Well, now they're at 6610 East Tancreverde. Go see my friend Dino Chonis, him and his wife Sheila. Great people. They do a great job with pizza. But I enjoyed talking to Bruce for a while now. We were almost 45 minutes on the phone with Bruce. He and I traveled together, competed against each other, him at the Daily Star and me at the Tucson Citizen. Had a great time traveling. Crazy times sometimes because the stories were crazy. Hawaii, when we never saw the beach because we were chasing down sources and people to talk to. But a lot of fun. Thankfully, I don't do that anymore in terms of chasing people down for stories outside of my sources telling me stuff for my website at allsportstucson.com. But I think he has the same view as I do, that this team has a lot of work to do, that it is what it is. It has a short bench that needs to obviously produce more than it is, that Acott is what he is, and he'll have to kind of maybe produce a little bit more. That Ryan Luther probably will have to overcome some doubts that he has in his mind about him playing here and playing well, because he needs to hit some shots on the perimeter coming off the bench, because the bench does need some help. Jeter, same thoughts. Very smart guy, cerebral, good leader, as well as Justin Coleman in the backcourt. So we'll see. We'll see. I think Arizona will win the next three games, non-conference games, get ready for the NCAA's Pac-12 season. And then if they can win 12 games, go 12-6 in the regular season, maybe win one or two in the tournament, in the Pac-12 tournament in Vegas, that'll get them to about 25 wins. That could help them. That will very definitely help them get to the NCAA tournament and maybe get a not a high seed, maybe 8 or 9 seed, if maybe higher. I doubt that, though. The league is going to be so bad. Arizona lost its two big games with Auburn and Gonzaga, so that didn't help, but it also didn't hurt because they're two very good teams. They just can't afford to lose anymore to bad teams like the Oregon States, the Stanfords, the Washington States, teams like that. They just can't afford to, and they got to win the games they need to win. No question about that. And sometimes, as we all know, as Arizona followers and fans, that doesn't always happen. Even the best teams from Arizona's Lute's time and in Sean's time, a time or two, that they lost to teams they should not have lost to. But here we go, you know. And so in a couple of days, too, I want to hope to speak to the women's team. They're 8-1, doing very well. A former player, Adia Barnes, is the coach. And she's doing very well, like I said, 8-1. And I think we'll probably talk to her early next week. They have a game over the weekend against UTEP, I think it is. And we'll sit down with her or have her on the line to talk about her success here so far.
See what their secret is, huh?
See what their secret is. Yeah, they have some pretty good players coming in. They had a good recruiting class. However, some of the recruits have already left. They've already decided to transfer. And I want to talk to her about that and just the difficulty in working all that hard and all that much traveling all over the country and then not being able to keep those players here.
Maybe she could lure them back with a pizza from Dino's. Don't know if they eat. You know.
No, I don't think that's allowable, sir.
Oh, that's right. Right. Well,
we have a caller, so no more calls?
That was a pizza winning caller right there.
Okay, cool. That's what I was asking. So then we can call off the dogs for the pizza?
Yes.
Cool.
And he was very happy about that. So thought today was his lucky day. So congratulations, Johnny.
Great. I hope I haven't bored him here on the phone. What did you get from Bruce's conversation with me?
He is a pretty sharp guy. But what I was going to ask you is, do you really look at it as competition from one paper to the other?
Yes.
Because
yes, very much
people won't read both? They read one or the other? Or?
Well, no, they probably did read both. Depends. You know, I was started in 87 here as a very young man, and covered the team till 2009 when the paper eventually folded because of the ownership. But I covered him for about 12 years with Bruce, and then there were some others. Yeah, we compete. We had to because there was two different papers looking for different stories.
Wasn't all TNI?
It was TNI 1. I think people got confused with that. They all handled the same business, TNI did, but it was the Daily Star versus the Citizen.
Still.
And versus may be a wrong word, but it was. I think that we were around, we made them better. And they were around, they made us better. Because like we talked about how we had to worry about what he was doing, I had to worry about what I was doing, and we never slowed down.
And you probably made him better by going out of business.
Well, no, I mean, I don't know about that.
You made him more popular,
Say. I guess.
I assume you're better friends now than you were.
No, we've always been good friends.
Well, that's good.
When he was in Vegas and I was covering the team here, I always said, you know, if you want to switch jobs at any time, I'll go cover Tark and you cover Lute for an extended time. It was a lot of fun. Those are the good old days to me because we traveled everywhere. I traveled everywhere. Went to Australia. Went to Greece.
Wow.
Went all over the country. Went to Canada to cover the team.
Never saw a thing.
No, in Australia and Greece, I did see things, but you didn't sleep because you were so busy. You're just so busy going to games at the Olympics. A lot of fun, though. And cover the team here. The one thing that Lute never did wrong was go to the best hotels and the best places to eat.
Oh, nice.
So I kind of maybe tagged along to stay where they stayed all the time because it was easiest just staying with them.
And ate what they ate.
No, I didn't do that because it was too expensive. I was a newspaper guy, for God's sake. Hey, a good show today. Thanks to Matt Othick, former UA player, to be on in the first hour, and then Bruce Pasco in the second hour. Tomorrow we hope to do this again, maybe a little bit better. Thanks.